Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to number one Bengals podcast. Yes. I'm your host, Eddie McDuck. I'm joined by John the Brain Sheeran and Dr. Roger Dektik is smudgy.
That is right.
A little more stiff than we normally see him.
The Botox has set in. Yeah, the Botox has set in, and I can
and
no
it's
longer
still very
do
wrinkled.
Anything.
Well, I mean,
a little filter there, too.
Yeah. I can't. This is the only thing you're going to see from now on. It's going to be all smiles for Hoji.
Okay, well, we will have to manage. So, John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. The bye week is very refreshing. Yeah, nice to get a week off.
Yeah, I can imagine, John, but you probably write the same amount of content during the bye week. Am I correct?
I try to, yeah.
And out of curiosity, because I already know all the news, but what have you been writing about the Cincinnati Bengals this bye week?
Been a lot of things that they need to correct, do they not?
Yeah.
They need to play better on offense. They need to play better on defense. They just need to be better on both sides of the fence.
The off and the D.
And you a lot know, of fences that need to be fixed.
You know, John, I saw a clip of our favorite quarterback, Joe Burrow. And he looked crisp. He looked mobile. I don't think that anymore anyone can say that the calf injury is a part of how he plays. What do you think about that?
No.
No.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
What was John, the question?
The question is,
I think Joe Burrow.
Do we have any
back.
Lingering issues with the calf? At
this I doubt it at this point. Like, there's just been enough time. He didn't look like he was injured against Seattle. So I don't think.
Well, the psychological side, John, the psychological side of re-injuring it, he is not doing the same stunts that we used to. He's not throwing his body around there. And also, John, also, we got to admit at some point the Andrew Luck factor, where Andrew Luck had terrible offensive lines.
You just get sick of getting hurt. You just get sick of
No, no,
pain.
Yeah. So he had these terrible offensive lines, and then by the time they finally put a good offensive line around him, it was like he had taken so many hits, he wasn't playing with the same aggressiveness. Do you think with Burrow, do you think that he's, let's say, going up against the San Francisco 49ers defense, very rugged,
This is classic Daddy-O, man. This is taking one thing over here,
yes,
and then twisting it on this little assembly line of discourse,
misinformation.
And ended up in a whole new thing, right? Because this calf was not caused by any bad offensive line play against the Seahawks. We saw him run around for 10 seconds trying to extend a play, taking on defenders, and actually completing the pass. No, I don't think this is any
no, but we saw him. Well, John, when Orlando Brown went down, we saw Joe Burrow end of the game. We saw the pass rush coming from the left side, and we saw him a little bit jittery. We saw him a little
bit shaky.
So what I'm saying, John, and by the way, that's a question: is Orlando Brown going to be fully back?
I was going to ask that question. Now I have nothing to ask.
It's okay. That's why we have John. John can do the questions and the answers.
He's practicing today, which is Wednesday, and that would mean he's on track to play Sunday. Yeah.
So the question is this: does Joe Burrow, with that calf injury, I know the offensive line didn't cause it. What I'm saying is he a little bit less, you know, likely to be as running around there as he used to, because he doesn't, you know,
you're getting these things mixed. Like he is fine. Like, I don't think there's any hesitation about him extending plays. The issues that you saw against Seattle were just, I think, him being jittery and not stepping into throws and maybe sensing pressure when it wasn't quite there. And that could have just been for a lack of trust in both Cody Ford and Cordell Volson at left tackle and left guard, respectively. I don't think you're losing the aggression, though, of Joe Burrow and his willingness to kind of move around it and utilize his legs.
I don't need it. I think that's ridiculous. I just want to, on the record, that's ridiculous, John. That take.
What about the complaint that the other receiving core, other than Ja'Marr Chase, people are just not stepping up? Supposedly, there was some frustration voiced that it's only Ja'Marr who's carrying the weight of the team in the locker room.
I don't think that's incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not incorrect, but how do they fix that? What's going to happen? Is there a plan in place? Are they going to, Matteo, who's watching the show right now, has suggested, why don't they just before the draft, before the end of things, why don't they bring in a tight end?
John, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I agree. But this brings us to the question, is T. Higgins finally going to show up this year?
No.
No?
No, he's not. He's not.
Damn.
And John, by the way, Irv Smith is not it, player. You are a player. John, are there any tight ends on the market that they can bring in? Because I think that Joe Burrow is a tight end type of quarterback.
Yeah, he really is.
I think he really is. He Tom really Brady is. Kind of, yeah. Yeah. And Peyton Manning. I think he's a Peyton Manning in that way.
He's a tight end type of quarterback?
Yeah.
He doesn't target tight ends.
He didn't have them.
He doesn't have them. That is the fundamental issue, John. Go ahead. Say something smart. We're out.
No, it's definitely a case of, like, he doesn't trust the tight ends that he has, for sure.
Yeah.
Even still, though, like, I feel like Uzama left the Bengals because he felt like he wasn't as involved in the offense as he should have been. Hayden Hurst was okay, but even still, like, he was more just a check down guy who got a lot of yards after the catch. I think this offense, the next step would be to get an influx of actual talent and athleticism. Yeah. At that position so that they can just emulate other offenses who succeed with 12th personnel that, like, they don't have the personnel to have two tight ends on the field and be an efficient offense. So that's the next step. But that, like, Joe Burrow's always been an 11 personnel guy. He's always trusted receivers more.
John, they could have had Sam Laporta. You and I both wanted Sam Laporta. They went with Miles Murphy. Are you seeing anything from Miles Murphy that makes you think that was a smart decision?
This is what I hate about the draft, I hate it, right? Because Miles Murphy gets drafted, and then everyone on my side of the fence is like, this is a pick that's not going to reap the benefits until maybe 3 years down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But then there's going to be Sam Laporta, who we all knew was really good, right? He fits in seamlessly with Detroit, and now he looks like an X factor. Like, oh, maybe the Bengals made a mistake. You can't be saying this stuff until 3 years
down the road. I don't know why people are even asking these questions. It's as if they are immature and they haven't been in this situation before.
Yeah. I really wish we wouldn't give a voice to those questions somehow.
But we have to.
I don't know how not to.
Contractually, we have to. So, no, but I'm saying this year, Jeff Swaim.
What about Jeff Swaim?
Is that a person?
He's a person. Mm-hmm. He's available.
And he plays football.
Yeah. He's got a family.
He's available or he's single?
Presumably a mortgage.
He was on the Cardinals. He's available. He's a tight end. Let's just get him. Hmm. Let's try him out. Why don't they do that? Why don't they just try people out? I don't understand.
Vince Papale. He was a tryout.
Drew Sample is a free agent?
No. He's on the team.
But
I haven't really looked up. I haven't really looked up tight ends who have been available because I just don't expect the Bengals to utilize the trade deadline. They just don't do it unless they're forced to.
Why do they never do stuff like that, John?
They value draft picks more.
Okay, it's the guys we have. So, John, can we? First of all, Matty, I love you. Matty is very, very astute observer of the sports media world. He says that you should be doing a sports segment on Fox 19. But I would never do it.
You have really stolen his heart, Matty. You have no idea how many compliments are in that one sentence. Because Daddio, this whole show for Daddio is a tryout for him to be on Fox and Friends. I don't know if anybody knows that. Daddio has had an artist's rendering of him on Fox and Friends as a host of Fox and Friends in his apartment.
Yeah, with AI, it's a lot easier. I just make the entire shows.
But they're never going to get you, man.
John,
you don't fit the profile.
Here's the question. We are stuck with Irv Smith. We know he's physically talented. He just hasn't developed in the NFL. Can Joe Burrow do it? Can he get the most out of him? Is it too late for this year?
Yes.
It might be too late. I think he was screwed from the start when Burrow went down. He didn't get the reps in August. He didn't establish any chemistry with him. And then they were just trying to figure it out as they went in September. There were just many examples of just Irv not being in the right spot or not making the play that he should have. And at this point, it's like, if you're not on Burrow's good side, he's just not going to really involve you. So they can try their best to put Irv in the best possible situations, but he's only going to get he's not going to get very many opportunities to really showcase what he can do now. Like, and when he does, he needs to take advantage of it.
I mean, physically it's there. And I think he's got to know the playbook by now. I mean, he was signed pretty early on. So, John, okay, next topic.
It's not just about the playbook, though. It's about playing together. Right. Yeah. It's the timing and everything.
Yeah. But they had the whole bye week. That's 2 weeks of practice. John, I want to move on. And I want to talk about this matchup. Okay. San Francisco, Cincinnati. Kyle Shanahan, Lou Anarumo. What kind of head games, what kind of strategy are we going to see back and forth? Because let's be honest, both of these guys, they maximize their rosters. Yes, Lou Anarumo. Yes, let's say Kyle Shanahan, he has, you know, some talent. I don't think Deebo Samuel, he's not going to be there. But I think CMC is going to play through the obloquy. And, you know, they have, is Trent Williams back, John?
We don't know.
It's too early. But the point is, he's going to make the most of that offense, Kyle Shanahan. That's what he does. And Lou Anarumo is going to make the most of that defense. So a lot of it's going to be a strategy. A lot of it's going to be anticipation and game planning and adjustments. How do you think that's going to play out, John?
I think we're going to see Anarumo try some looks that are going to get the 49ers maybe confidence early on. I think Brock Purdy is very much of a rhythm thrower. He's very much doesn't really work well off script and when things aren't on time and everything, and that's where the mistakes kind of happen. So I think you're going to see some maybe pressure calls early on that leave the middle of the field open and then try to entice the 49ers to keep coming back to their stable looks. And then maybe in the second half, you're going to see some either show pressure and then drop back into eight or whatever the case may be, but to close those vacancies that are normally open for the 49ers to try to capitalize on one of Purdy's mistakes. Because first 5 weeks of the season, Purdy didn't throw an interception, but he put many balls in the harm's way. And then the past 2 weeks, he's thrown three interceptions while basically playing the same level of football. So when you can be in position to disrupt the timing of these routes over the middle, that does lead you to a place where you can just turn the entire script around on Purdy, and that's where he kind of presses and falters like any young quarterback.
So you're saying he's a system player, so it's very easy. If you just hack the system, you can just completely dominate. You can make Purdy have the worst game of his career, is what John Sherman is saying.
And without Trent Williams, that offensive line is painfully average at best. So, you need Hendrickson and Hubbard to eat off the edges for sure.
Well, what about CMC, John? Christian McCaffrey. Did he look like himself? Because he only ran for what, like 35 yards? I don't know if that's still two good touchdowns. Or bad.
He's a touchdown a game, guaranteed. So
say much, though, John. I mean, you could get within the five.
No. Who also scored a touchdown in 16 consecutive games? Like, that's not nothing.
Well, that could say something about their offense is getting in position a lot, John. I mean, 35 yards rushing, you know, it's not incredible. So, is he completely? I mean, you know,
Why are we dismissing him? He's one of the best running backs in the game.
I'm hoping that he's not completely healthy for this game, and I'm just wondering, John, are they going to be able to slow him down easier because of that?
Maybe. But if he played through last week, then I'm sure he'll be fine playing through this week.
Okay. So they will have to re-injure
him. What's the key, John? What's the key that the Bengals need to do to win against the 49ers? If one thing has to go right, what is that one thing?
You got to score first, and you got to make sure that the 49ers don't start hot because they've won 17 out of the last 18 at home. Brock Purdy, I don't think, has ever lost at home. The script usually just goes in the 49ers' favor, which is the case when you have legitimately six or seven truly elite players all throughout the roster. Sometimes those guys take over games. The 49ers might not have maybe their most important elite player in Trent Williams, and that matters a lot, but the 49ers can still scheme guys open. They can scheme yards with the best of them. They just got to capitalize on the few mistakes that they make a game.
Well, I got a bit of advice for the Bengals. So they're going to be in San Francisco, and in the red light district of San Francisco, there's a Pakistani restaurant called Shalimar's. And they're going to want to go there, and they're going to want to eat the food there, which is delicious. Yeah. But what's going to happen is it builds up. A lot of the spices there will build up, and they don't hit you until the next day. And I'm worried, John, that if Saturday night the team goes to Shalimar's And if they get, let's say, a spicy vindaloo going on situation Sunday, that game is going to be a blast in the wrong way. It's gonna hurt. It's going to be painful. It's going to be all the spices are going to be coming out of all kinds of directions. I'm worried about this team. I don't know if Cincinnati people, they handle chili level heat. Can they handle the excellent cuisines of San Francisco? It has yet to be seen.
Yes. This is a daddy question more than me, so.
Yes. And we will see very soon. I think that's all we have, guys, in the show. So with that, for John Sheeran and Dr. Roger Electric Kismoji.
Yeah.
I'm Danny McTugh. We'll see you next time. So long, SVT. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.